Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Well, good morning. I want you to do me a favor, right? Grab all of your stuff that's around you, okay? And stand up. And now, we're going to play Fruit Basket Upset. I want you to move places. You can't sit in the same section you're at. Yeah, I'll tell you why in just a moment, okay? Can't sit in the same section. And if you normally sit near the back, I want you to come up to at least the middle or the front. If you're in the middle, you can go either way. If you normally sit near the front, move on back somewhere. But just get another place in another section, all right? Now, for some of you who it's very difficult to move physically, that's okay. We're going to let you just sit there and hang out where you're at, okay? That's fine. But if you can move, go ahead and move around, all right? Do, 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 do. Some people are saying, I didn't know the church had this side of the building. Does it look really different? How many think it looks a lot different? Yeah. All right. You know why I had you do this? Because here's the thing. You've been probably sitting in the same place for the past several weeks, if you're fairly new, months or years since you've been coming to Radius, and you've been sitting there the whole time. And this is what normally happens. We come to a church, and we sit in the same place, and the same three, four people are in the front of us, same couple on the side, same two, three behind us, and those are the only people that we talk to. Those are the only people we talk to. And so we don't really mix and mingle and get to know other people really in the congregation. Also, when we see everything familiar, it's just easy, it's comfortable, we sit in, and we're oblivious to newcomers who are here for the first time. But when you come and you sit in a new spot, and I know one couple in our church, they sit in one spot for 1 month, and then they move to a different section. They're always rotating. Why? Because they want to be around new people so they can greet them, they can meet them, they can talk with them, get to know them a little bit. But also, secondly, it just makes you more aware of the people who are around you. It really makes you more aware. And we want to make sure that everybody feels welcome. And for those of who are here this morning at Radius for the first time, we want to say thanks for being here. For those who are online joining us for the first time, thank you for being with us. But I hope that you've been warmly greeted at the door, that you've been welcomed, but then as you've been in, people have welcomed you and have connected with you. My wife and I, when we first got married, we got married on a Saturday, and we made a major mistake. We opened our gifts. We never should have done that because we left really, really late Saturday. By the time we got to our hotel, it was really late. We skipped church on Sunday. We were major sinners. We skipped church. So what we decided to do was on Wednesday night, we went to this cabin by a lake in a resort community, and the church there in town had a midweek service. So we arrived a few minutes early. We pull into the parking lot. We get out. We walk into the church building, and we pass by a number of people, and not a single person welcomed us. We sat about two-thirds to three-quarters of the way in the back on the inside section, like right here, and nobody talked to us. And there was people all around us, but nobody talked to us. Nobody welcomed us. They started worship. They went through the worship time. Then they had the greeting time. We're all standing, done with worship, and we just stood there. Not a single person came and shook our hand. Not a person said a word to us. I mean, we kind of thought, do we have the scarlet letter A on us, you know? Or are we ostracized? You know, if you took literature, you get that reference. But we were wondering, is there something wrong? Do we have leprosy? I don't know. And then the pastor, he preached the sermon. And near the end, he started giving a salvation appeal, a salvation response. And it was a very prolonged, pointed response. And my wife and I, we felt like he was thinking we needed Jesus. Now, here's the thing. I had just graduated from Bible college 2 weeks before. My wife and I, we had just been hired the week before by a church in Salt Lake City, Utah, to come and be their youth pastors. I mean, it's like, hey, we're saved. We're Spirit-filled. You know, we're good. We've been there and done that. But he just went on and on. There wasn't a ton of people there. And it was just kind of like, there were several times he's just kind of looking at us and staring at us. And we were sitting right there. We're just staring at him. And it's like, man, church is done. We get up. Nobody comes and says a word. Nobody shakes our hand. Nobody says, great to have you. We walked out of there. And I said to my wife, I says, if this is the only church in town and we lived here, we wouldn't come. I would not come back. It was the most unfriendly church I'd ever been a part of. Unwelcoming. And my prayer is that we will never be a church like that. Here's the thing. If you're an unwelcoming church, that's because you have unwelcoming people. It's because you have unwelcoming leadership. And my hope is that everyone has been welcomed here, but I want us to really become a people. And I challenge you, start to mix your seat up just so you're more aware. It is so easy to get comfortable, to fall into complacency. Seek out newcomers. Welcome them, not just out there when you first see them, but in the service, during handshaking time, when you first get here, look for someone new around you and welcome them, especially singles or couples, because a lot of times you see a big family, they're easily recognizable, but a single can sometimes slip in. I'll give you a clue. Don't mob them, okay? Don't convert. Here's the thing. A lot of people that are new to church for the first time, they'll actually come late and they'll leave early, because they don't want to be noticed. And so there's this kind of balance between feeling welcomed and yet not smothered and like, you know, we're vampires or something like that. But we want everyone to be welcome, because Jesus and God, they've welcomed us into a relationship with them. God has welcomed us into a relationship with them. What we are talking about today is welcoming, and we are in the middle of a series called The Nine Arts of Spiritual Conversation. How do we start spiritual conversations, take everyday conversations, and transfer them into spiritual matters? And we're learning nine practices. In week one, we talked about noticing and praying. We need to notice people, notice their needs, and then pray for them. In week two, we talked about listening to them and asking meaningful questions to develop even deeper conversation. And then as we've noticed, prayed, listened, and asked questions, we begin to develop a love for them, because we're knowing their needs, we're knowing their struggles, and then we want to be welcoming. And that's the art we're going to talk about today. We want to be welcoming people. In your notes this morning, the big idea we're focusing on, and I already referenced to it, is that because Jesus has welcomed us, we want to welcome others. Because Jesus has opened up his arms and he's welcomed us into a relationship, we want to welcome others into a relationship with God. We have to practice welcoming. And so a few points that we need to realize about welcoming. Number one is that God is a good host. God is a good host. A lot of times when you think of God and the titles for God, the roles that God plays, we think of king, creator, provider, helper, things like that. But did you know that a role we see in the Bible is that of a host? God is a host. From the very beginning, you start in Genesis, God, when he created Adam and Eve, he hosted them in the garden. He provided them a safe, secure place. He provided everything they needed. God hosted Adam and Eve. In one of the most famous Psalms, Psalm 22, the Psalm of the Good Shepherd, we see God playing the role of host there. I want to read this for you. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This psalm contains two powerful metaphors for God. The first one is a shepherd who leads us, who provides for us, who cares for us and takes care of us. And what a wonderful promise we have that God is a shepherd who will protect and provide for us in a world full of turmoil. I love where it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. Do you realize that when you become a Christian, a follower of God, that doesn't mean you have no problems? It doesn't. You will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But here's the thing, when you walk through those dark times, those dangerous times, you have a God who stands with you, who's with you in every circumstance and situation. He has promised to never leave you, to never forsake you. God is always with us. He plays that role of a shepherd when we enter into a relationship with him. The second metaphor we see is that of a host when it says, you prepare a table before me. And so it's like you've been invited to someone's house, you sit down, and they prepare a table. They bring out salad, they bring out, you know, breadsticks, they bring out the main course, they bring out dessert, they prepare a table. And what's interesting, as you read this passage, you realize that it is a banquet feast that never runs out of food. It says, my cup runs over. So it's this feast, and you and I, followers of Jesus Christ who've made God their shepherd, we say, you're my leader, I'm going to let you lead me and guide me. We're the guests of honor. Because it was biblical practice when a honored guest came to a banquet, they would pour perfumed oil on their head. And this psalm says, you anoint my head with oil. So God is saying, you are my guest of honor. You have a special place. You're distinguished. You are special. Look at your neighbor and say, you're special. In a good way, okay? But we're special. That's what he's saying. And it's like, you are the guest of honor. I have prepared this table. And get this. I don't know, have you ever sat down to a meal with someone who hates you? I mean, you're not very comfortable. And when you think of David's enemies, people who were trying to kill him, and yet he felt safe and secure. Not only does God have the power to provide, but he has the power to protect you from horrible situations, people who have it out for you. And David is saying, man, I have this table, this banquet, I'm being hosted, and even though my enemies are here who want to kill me, I feel safe. You might be going through some relational issues at work, at school. Some of you are saying, thank God there's only a few days left. This year has been horrible. Some of you maybe are dealing with very difficult family relationships. Or maybe there's just another situation in the neighborhood. Something's going on. You have a horrible neighbor blaring their music, and you've tried to address it nicely, and maybe it's escalated. I don't know what relational issues you are, but God says he prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. God is taking care of you. He's hosting you. And friends, I want us to realize that all of those benefits are available to those who have received God's welcome into a relationship. God invites you and I into a relationship with himself. What's interesting is that this picture of God, of the shepherd and the host in the Old Testament, Jesus fulfilled it in the New Testament. You see, our sin separates us from God. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 2 says, your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. But here's the thing. When you and I receive Christ as our Savior, we acknowledge that we've sinned. We realize that God loved the world so much that he sent his only son to come and die on the cross for our sin, that if we receive his forgiveness and his leadership in our life, then we can be forgiven of our sin. And that separation we once had has now been bridged. That gap is bridged, and we have a relationship with God. Jesus talked about himself being the good shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You see, Jesus' death on the cross took our penalty of sin, our death penalty, and he opened up the way for you and I to have a relationship with God. He's our good shepherd. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. He wants to help us. We need to yield to his leading. But not only is Jesus our shepherd, he's our host. And that brings us to point number two in your notes. Jesus welcomes us. Jesus welcomes us. One of the big criticisms that the religious leaders had about Jesus was that he ate with the tax collectors and the sinners. We read about it in Luke chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. It says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. You know, Jesus had this amazing ability to draw people from all fringes of society. People that were not respectable. When you call tax collectors were people that worked for the Roman government, and they collected taxes, but not only did they collect taxes from their countrymen, so they were considered traitors, they collected more than the tax so they could pad their pockets. So they were considered as thieves. They were some of the lowest of society. And then when you say sinners, that included people like liars, drunkards, Sabbath breakers, adulterers, prostitutes. And so when Jesus hangs out with tax collectors and sinners, he's hanging out with people that we would look at and see as some of the lowest of society, some of the most dishonorable, disrespectable people that you can come across, criminals, drug dealers, whatever it might be. Those were the people that Jesus hung out with, and he was a friend to them. And on this situation here, when Jesus is with them and the religious leaders are muttering, Jesus tells a story to them, actually not one story, but three stories in Luke chapter 15. You first get the story of a lost sheep, where a shepherd has 100 sheep, one of them leaves, is lost, and the shepherd leaves the 99 safe, and he goes out looking for the one. And it says, when he found the one, he contacted all of his friends and he celebrated. Then Jesus told a story about a lost coin. A lady lost a coin. Now, many Bible scholars believe that this coin was part of a headdress that she had, and it was her dowry. So this was a significant amount of money. She lost one of the 10 coins of her dowry. And so not only does it have monetary value, but it has sentimental value. And so she is sweeping the house, and many times they did not have windows like we do today. They just had a door, because if you have an open space for a window, it's going to be dark. So it was very dark. She lights a lamp. She looks for the coin, and when she finds it, what does she do? She tells all of her friends, and they celebrate. Jesus is setting the religious leaders up, saying, you need to realize that lost people matter to God, and that there is no one who is too far outside of the grace of God to be brought inside to God's family. And that when one of these sinners comes home, there is a celebration. And that's the third story he talks about. The story of a lost son. A rich man had two sons, an older son and a younger son. And the younger son said, Dad, I want my inheritance now. What belongs to me? You know what he's really saying? Dad, I wish you were dead. I want the stuff that would be mine if you were dead. I really don't care about you. I don't care about a relationship with you. I just want the stuff that would be mine if you were gone. And he took it, and he went out, and he lived a wild, raucous, partying life. Spent it gambling with prostitutes, drinking, feasting, and he lost everything. And he becomes a servant, taking care of pigs for a farmer, and he realizes the pigs eat better than I do. And he thinks, if I just go home to my father's house, not as a son, but as a slave, I would have it better off than taking care of these pigs. So he goes back, and Jesus tells a story that the father was looking for the son. And when he saw him, he ran to him. And in Jewish culture, distinguished men did not run. But that's how the father felt about the son. He saw his son, and the son came back and says, I'm not worthy to be a son. Make me a servant. And the father says, no, you're my son. He put on him his best robe, which was one of the father's robes. He gave him his signet ring. He killed a fatted calf to have a party. But here's the thing. There was the older brother, and the older brother, when he heard the noise of the party, he says, what's going on? And the servant said, your brother, who was once dead, is now alive, and your father is throwing a party because he's back. And this older brother, instead of welcoming his brother, was unwelcoming. He was upset. He was furious with his father for welcoming the lost son. And Jesus was saying, the father represents God. And Pharisees and teachers, you are the older brother. Your attitude of not welcoming your lost brother back is wrong, and you need to repent. Jesus was teaching all of us, lost people matter to God, and heaven celebrates when they come back. God welcomes them, and we need to welcome them also. And so that is a spiritual art that you and I need to have in our lives. We need to welcome those who are outside of God's family. What is welcoming? We have it there in your notes. It says, welcoming is the act of showing unconditional acceptance to people without any expectation of reciprocation. It's showing unconditional acceptance. They don't have to look a certain way, smell a certain way, act a certain way for us to accept them. We accept them as they are. That's what welcoming is. And we don't expect any reciprocation back. Well, bless God, I invited them over for dinner and they haven't had me back. I said hello to them. They didn't say hello to me. I'm not going to be nice to them anymore. I mean, that sounds kind of like, you know, junior high at best, doesn't it? And yet sometimes that is an attitude that we have. Well, they're not being nice and welcoming to me, so I'm not going to be nice and welcoming to them. No, we give unconditional acceptance without any expectation of reciprocation. The Apostle Paul wrote this to the Christ followers in Colossae. He said in chapter 4, verse 5 and 6 of his letter to them, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Paul is encouraging the church to welcome outsiders. An outsider is someone who's outside the family of God. They're unchurched. Maybe they haven't darkened the door of a church for a long time. Maybe it's a person that you would look at them and you'd say, what are they doing here? You know how horrible they are? How horrible a person? You know what? Find the worst person in town and they should be welcome in church. They should be welcome in church. The worst person should be in town. There is no one who is too despicable, too wicked, too bad to be welcomed into our church. I'm serious. Many years ago, I heard a story of a guy, and I heard this when he came and attended his mom's funeral. The last time he'd been in our church was, and he came in and he had tattoos all over his arms and his neck, and there was some people in our church that said, what are you doing here with all those tattoos? And he never came back until his mom's funeral. When I heard that, I apologized to him. But it breaks my heart to think that somebody said that to someone. Because that's not the welcoming love of Jesus. You see, the reality is, and I referenced during the at the end of worship, the lady who broke that box of perfume, that vial of perfume, and anointed Jesus' feet, and people saw her as being a horrible sinner. If we look at it, all of us are horrible sinners. Each and every one of us, my sin put Jesus on the cross. My sin killed the Son of God. And actually, it didn't kill him, because killing means someone got them. Jesus laid his life down so that I wouldn't go to hell, so that you wouldn't go to hell, so that any drug dealer in town or prostitute or satanic occult person, bank robber, rapist, child molester, hey, there is no sin that is too far removed that God can't forgive. He welcomes every person into a relationship with him. God wants us to be a welcoming church. Paul encouraged them, welcome the outsiders like Jesus did. Reach out to them. Don't shrink back. And then he says, make much of the grace that you've received and help them understand it. Be full of grace. And I love how he says, season your conversation with salt. Okay? I like salt. I was at a graduation party, and they talked about it was kind of a medieval feast, and they talked about the importance of salt. Salt was a very valuable commodity back in the New Testament times, and Paul was told his people, season your conversation with salt, with grace, with what God does. But here's the thing. How much salt do you need to add flavor to your food? Not a lot. I mean, if you dump the whole shaker on it, you've just wrecked your meal, right? You just need a little bit. And there are sometimes, I've seen some Christians, boy, I'm going to get them saved. And they pour on this. I mean, it's like, let's unscrew the shaker. You're going to hell, brother. You need to get saved. Repent of your sin. You're horrible and rotten and lousy. I mean, and they just dump it on like that pastor did when my wife and I were on our honeymoon. Season. And here's the thing. You say, how much to season? That's where you got to rely on the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. If you're a Christ follower, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of you, and he can guide you how much to say, when to say, and how to say it. And ask him for wisdom. Ask him for wisdom. How do I go about this? What do I say? But so many times I've seen we as Christians, we do the opposite. Instead of taking the salt shaker, the cap off and dumping it, we keep the cap on and we tape it over and we hide it behind our back and we don't season any of our conversation with spiritual conversation because we don't want to offend anyone. And you know what? If they never hear the gospel, we'll offend them all the way to hell because they'll never hear about a God who loved them so much that he died on the cross and he gave himself for them. And so we need to be people in prayer that season our speech with salt so that we know how to answer everyone. If there is someone in church you don't recognize, I want you to go and introduce yourself and then ask questions. I mean, that's one of the spiritual arts. What do you do for a living? How long have you been in Casper? Do you have any family here? What brought you here? Just ask questions. Maybe even after church, go out to eat. Hey, we're going to Wendy's, we're going Dutch, we're going to a taco place. And just when you go out to eat, don't talk all about yourself. Ask questions about them, okay? Ask questions to them. Get to know them. Be welcoming. I'm going to give another practical tip of how you can develop a welcoming skill. Get involved in a ministry team. Get involved in the ministry team, especially our greeter ministry at the front door. being a kid check host when we check people in and we take them up to their classroom, or at the treat team after church when we serve the coffee and cookies. As people come, you can just greet them and warmly welcome them. All of our treat team people, don't we have a nice treat team people? Yeah, they're not grumpy. You know, one of the qualities, they have to smile, you know. It's good to smile when you're in those positions. But even if you're saying, I'm not really up front like that, get involved in a ministry team. And some of you say, I have no idea what ministry team to get involved in. I encourage you to come to our Destiny class. Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, we're giving you a meal. And then 6:45 is class. There's 4 separate standalone classes. We're going to share with you about the church, what we believe. So some of you who are new, you can find out what we believe here. What's our strategy? What's our vision, mission, and values? And our structure, how are we laid out? We're going to teach you in session 2 what we believe. Session 3, we're going to help you find your shape. Now, we're not talking about being pear-shaped or apple-shaped or anything like that, okay? But you have spiritual gifts, letter S. H is heart passions. A is abilities. P is personality. E is experiences. God wants to take your shape. He has designed you for kingdom purposes, to make an impact in the world around you. He's got a destiny for you. And so I encourage you, come to Destiny if you don't know how God has shaped you, if you don't know what ministries God has equipped you for. So in these last few minutes I've got, I want to give you 4 aspects of welcoming, and they all rhyme. How many like rhyming, okay? All right. We're going to help you to be an ace in welcoming, all right? How many want to be an ace? The first way to be an ace in welcoming is to notify your face, all right? Smile. Smile and have warm eye contact and warm body language. Facial expression is where welcoming starts. If there's a newcomer who comes up, and whether you're in your neighborhood or a new person at work or a new person at church, if someone comes to you, you got a frown on your face, your hands are in your pocket, or your arms are crossed, that's not very welcoming, okay? When you meet someone, smiles, everyone, smiles. That tattoo, Mr. Rourke, Fantasy Island thing. Put a smile on your face. You know it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile? That's what they say. It takes more muscles to frown than to smile. Smile. Your facial expression is important. You see, your face can communicate you're not welcome here, or it's great to have you. So our face is where it starts, also our body language. Number 2, the next way to be an ace in welcoming is to look at your space. And this is your mental, emotional space. Are you open to building rapport with others, or are you closed off emotionally? I mean, do you ask people questions? Do you engage them in conversation? Do you introduce yourself? Or it's kind of like, you just avoid everyone. What's your mental, emotional space? Are you open to building rapport with them? A person can immediately feel welcomed and valued by the way we present ourselves if we're open to relationship with them, or they can feel like, man, they don't want anything to do with me. I'm not welcome here. They don't care about me. Our attitude, our mindset, are we open to relationships with others? The third way to become an ace in welcoming is your place. That's your physical environment, your place. Your home, your office, your vehicle. Is it warm and inviting? Is it warm and inviting? Now, we're not saying it has to be completely clean without any dust, okay? But having it somewhat neat is important, because if you ever watch those hoarder shows, you know, yeah, you walk into a place like that and it's like, yeah, I don't really want to stay here really long. So that can be a turnoff. But here's the thing. If you give this vibe of, I got my white glove out before you came and it's neat and everything's in order and you better not mess anything up, that's going to make them not feel very welcome. That's going to make them feel like, well, man, I guess, you know, we're just here, but you better not touch anything. You better not mess anything up. You want people to feel relaxed and comfortable. I know some people in their office, they have a candy dish there just so people will stop by, and it's just kind of a way to welcome them, and they connect with them emotionally. They talk to them, just keeping the candy dish filled. There's other people, they take their welcoming mobile by walking their dog in the neighborhood. And when they see someone who's out in the neighborhood, they'll just stop and talk to them. If they don't look too busy, you know, they'll talk, hey, how's it going? You know, and they just make small conversation, and they do that while they're walking the dog. They take their welcoming mobile. Another way to do it is that you can just invite people over for a barbecue or a fire pit or out to lunch, something like that. Some people like to host book clubs or game nights. Some people, they want to include them in a fitness activity. Hey, some of us, we're going to go hiking up at the Garden Creek Falls. You want to come with? Or maybe there's a hobby like fishing or golfing, and they invite them to go with them on their hobby. Those are ways that we can open our place up to people and become an ace at welcoming. The very last one is your grace. Our grace. You see, there are people that their life is really messy. Their life is filled with problems and struggles. And some of us would say, you know what? I'd rather not get involved. I'd rather not be a part of it. I'm just going to kind of stay away from those people. But aren't you glad that God didn't stay away from you and I when we had problems? God had grace on us. And our grace, we're willing to enter into people's problems, their issues, their questions, their struggles with the faith. We're willing to walk with them through the messy things of life to show them that God welcomes them, and there is no situation that's too messy or mysterious that God doesn't love and accept. And so I just want to encourage you, as you begin, and it's going to take time for this grace aspect, for people to become vulnerable enough with you that they begin to share their problems and their issues. When that happens, you need to become a prayer warrior. You need to be praying beforehand, God, prepare me for this. When you have those conversations and they ask a question, you know what you do? You just offer up a prayer in your mind, help me, Jesus. And he'll help you. And then listen to it. Don't be praying a whole time so you don't hear a thing they said, okay? You don't want to do that, but you could just say, oh, God, help me. And then when you're done with your conversation, and remember, you could just salt it. You don't have to dump the whole shaker at one time. Just salt it a little bit. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. But when you're done, be praying for them, for the things that you shared would be seeds that God plants to minister comfort to them, to bring them to repentance, that they receive God's welcome invitation to enter into relationship with Him. So it's your face, your space, your place, and your grace. And as we become welcoming in those areas, we'll be aces in welcoming people. We've got three ways there in your notes for you to apply today's message. We're trying to give you three challenges every week as we look at these spiritual arts so that they become part of our lives. The first one there at the bottom of your notes is join a ministry team, sign up for Destiny. If you're not involved in ministry, I encourage you to do that. That's one way to get you out of your space, and you'll get to meet some new people and begin to welcome and open your life up to them. Come to our Destiny class this Wednesday. Number two, include someone in an activity you're doing. Invite them to a meal. Maybe you even want to start today after church. Or maybe you're going to do a cookout in the mountain in a couple of weeks or something like that, and you want to invite someone to that. Just include people in an activity you're doing. Ask questions when you do so you can get to know them. And then the last one is memorize Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, the verse that we talked about where Paul said, act wise to those who are outside, to welcome them. Be full of grace. Season your conversation with salt. Memorize those two verses. There may be some of you here today where step number four is the place you're at, and that's where you accept God's invitation to enter into a relationship with Him. Maybe there's some of you here, whether you're in the house or you're watching online this morning, and as we've been talking about God welcomes us into a relationship with Himself, you'd say, you know what? I need God's love. I need Him to be a shepherd. I want to not just have him bail me out of my problems, but I want him to lead my life. I realize that I've been in charge and I need to surrender my life. I need to follow the leader, follow Jesus as my shepherd. And if you're here and you're saying, I need God as my shepherd and my host, I realize Jesus died on the cross for my sin. As a good shepherd, he laid his life down for me, and he welcomes me into a relationship with God. If that's you, I want you to circle number 4 there, all right? Circle number 4 on your message notes. You want to enter that relationship with God. If you're watching online, maybe you don't have anything to circle. You can just raise your hand and say, God, I want to enter a relationship with you. I need you. And maybe some of you would say, you know, I'm not at that place. That's fine, because you can't force a relationship. And as you learn how God loves you and accepts you with open arms, there'll come a place and a time where you can receive his grace. I'd like everyone to pray with me this morning. We're going to say a prayer for those who have circled number 4 and says, man, I need this relationship with God. And I'd like all of us to say this together so that no one's praying alone, okay? Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your grace, for dying for my sin. I'm a sinner. I have done wrong, and I need forgiveness. Wash away my sin. I surrender my life to you. Be my shepherd who leads me, provides for me, and protects me. I accept your welcome. Help me to live for you. Amen. Amen.